doctor, but I have been known to answer questions for people and let people see their spouses and partners' point of view that has helped them with their relationships.
Yeah, but those aren't the only kinds of relationships that
need
to talk about when it comes to communication.
No, but that's what we were talking about. So I was fine with that. It was our moment. Anyway, we're getting off track.
So we do that a lot, as we said.
So anyway, I know that a lot of people have trouble with relationships, and it can be with communication. I think all trouble with relationships, as Darren was saying, whether it's a romantic relationship or a work relationship or a parental child.
Do you know what it is? I think a lot of people are afraid of saying something that is going to offend or that is going to hurt the other person.
Oh, yes. You know, we could talk about that whole, like, today in 2020, and we're so offended by every little effing thing.
We could do 3 podcasts on that and not have enough time.
But did you hear, like, in 2019, was it? No, 2018, that they were getting offended over a song written in the 1950s?
Oh, people get offended over the most ridiculous things now. Get your ass out. Get your head out of your ass and start living in the now. Enjoy what was
life.
In the past. Enjoy life.
Yeah. Now, I will put a disclaimer here, and I will say there are things that it is okay to be offended at that we normally wouldn't talk about in the past. There are things that are coming out and that are more discussed in the media. And in those topics, people can become rightfully offended. Yes. And a perfect example would be the whole issue with transgender.
That is a very good topic.
Yes. Now, I am 100% fully support and accept everyone for who they are. So if you were going to say something derogatory to me, especially regarding the LGBT community or, you know, specifically targeting someone who's transgender, I am going to be offended. But here's the difference between me and most people in society. I take what people say instead of just offensive as they're ignorant. And I like to try to educate.
Some people don't want to be educated.
That is very true. They don't want to be educated.
Some people are very narrow-minded that you can't educate them even if you wanted to.
But to educate doesn't necessarily mean to preach or lecture. It's also about how you direct yourself to them. There's ways that you can say things to make people think about what they said without being preachy.
So you're like psychoanalyzing them?
Sometimes. Or reverse psychology.
Reverse psychology.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fun one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so many things that people have taken into offense. Like you said, over the last couple of years, people have been offended by stuff that was written years and years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you heard, but last year, right in the middle of the baseball season, for I'd say, I can't even remember how long, 15 years, maybe the Yankees would play during their 7th inning stretch. They'd play Kate Moss's Take Me Out of the Ballgame.
Oh, yeah.
They stopped playing that in the middle of the season.
Yeah, I heard
because they found out, or somebody brought to light, that a lot of her songs were very derogatory back in the day. And the Yankees made a conscious decision as an organization to not promote her anymore.
Well, now that also has to go back to our history and them taking down monuments. Mm-hmm. Now, the monuments are American history. So it's like, on one side, we're saying this is a monument. So it's a tribute to this person that did this in society. And for the most part, we're taught that it's something positive. Where today, now it's, you know, well, it was in 2018 and 2019. They're saying, no, they may have done one or two good things, but they did 20 negative things. So why are we giving this memorial?
But at the time, when when these songs were written or these monuments were put up, it was everyday life. It was culture. It wasn't a derogatory thing back then.
What, but a lot of things weren't derogatory or looked at as...
Or looked at derogatory.
Right, and they weren't looked at as bad or negative or offensive. Today they are. And I think today, like anything, and you'll find out as we go through these shows with me, one of their biggest problems besides communication is we do not as a society find a healthy balance. We're always at one extreme to another. So back in the day, like you're saying, we didn't really get offended, and it was just the culture, how it was. Well, culture over the years has evolved. And
is it evolve, or are people just becoming very sensitive or too sensitive to certain
things? I don't think it's 100% too sensitive. I think there's a healthy balance, and we're now going on that spectrum of being too sensitive, and we have to find the balance where we're understanding that our society and our culture has evolved, and we're learning things that haven't, it's not that they haven't been or that they're new, it's new to the public. It's new to the outside world.
Right. But if things were not taken offensive when they were written or when they were produced back in the day, why would we now, I understand why we find it offensive, but why would we as a society take things away from people that did things when they were not in the wrong back then?
Because things that were back then were
because people
wrong.
Are too sensitive now.
No, it's not. It's back then, people were afraid to speak up. Look at, if you were a white male in the past, period. I mean, you think about it. The only category that is not a minor is a straight white man. If you're anything else, you belong in a minority group, according to our society.
But technically, isn't the white man the minority now?
No, because it doesn't have to be written as a law that you have protection. It's automatically assumed by everyone that the straight white man has protection.
I get that.
You didn't think about it though, did you?
But when we are talking, like you're talking about jokes these days.
Of course, and, because things can be funny.
Right, but people get offended if it's a joke about a priest and a rabbi. People get offended if it's a joke about a black person. People get offended if it's a joke about...
And that's a good point. That's a very, very good point.
But nobody thinks it's offensive if it's about a white man.
You're right. But I think it also depends on the person, too. And it brings us back to where I was talking about finding that healthy balance. Things are funny. And we have to admit, the funniest jokes that stand-up tells us are the ones we know are true.
Very true. Exactly. That was my point, is you're getting these jokes that 5 years ago, nobody found offensive, and all of a sudden... This person's racial, or this person...
Well, okay, but see, that's where I was going with the healthy balance. If you get a stand-up comic, or even just a person, and that they're only focus is on one group and it's constantly joking about that one or three groups, then that becomes offensive.
Correct.
But if it's, you know, you have a friend and, you know, you use a stereotype and the friends are, I think that's where you find that balance, you know, because they're telling about a joke about this friend and that friend might fit in this category, but then they're going to go to another topic, you know, so they're kind of like balancing things out. And I'm not saying that making jokes about groups are funny and that they should be, but I'm also not saying that they shouldn't be either. It's really all about a healthy balance, and it's about you. I mean, if you are easily offended and easily sensitive, then don't go to that person's show.
Exactly. You know? And a lot of comedians now are pigeonholed for the wrong reasons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are some that I...
But is it really the routine that's being pigeonholed, or is it them? And if it's them, is it because of the routine or because of other things that they've done in society that has become publicized?
Right, but 99% of the time, it's about the routine.
You think?
Absolutely.
Okay.
There's not many. There are always people that have done something wrong in the past.
Oh, yeah.
That are...
There's a lot of them.
Right. But it seems like, oh, you know... This one talks too much about this. This one talks too much about that.
Right. Yes. And that's
and
what
that, and that's
to.
Where that's where I think as a society we're becoming soft.
Well, and that's what I mean by we don't have balance. It's always the
there
extreme.
Is no balance.
But that's my point. We don't find the balance. We, our society, no matter what topic it is, whether it's being a derogatory, whether it's about a new mental health condition or a new whatever, we're always going to one extreme to the other, a new parenting format, a new way to discipline. That there's always extremes.
Discipline? You can't discipline anymore.
Oh, we need to save that for another show because I got my own opinions on that one.
I think we both do.
I have a feeling that's where we're going to actually agree. But anyway.
I think we should get back on topic of communication.
But this is communication. I mean, we are communicating about our society being sensitive and the way we're communicating. I think one of the differences between you and I having this conversation on the show is we're not really interrupting each other.
No, we're letting each other say what they need to say, and we're listening to each other, which is one of the biggest forms of communication that is lost these days.
And I know that we did interrupt each other, but notice when one of us interrupted, we stopped.
Or the other one stopped to listen and then continued.
Correct. So, I mean, we are talking about communication, and by doing our topic of communication, it brought up another topic. But communication is such an important art form that has just lost itself in society. This conversation about society being sensitive is a perfect example of why and how communication is so important and how active listening will get you a lot further than listening to react. And that's the biggest problem
in
today's society.
That is the biggest problem, especially in relationships.
Well, everything's a relationship.
Right. But how many times has your partner said to you, you don't listen to what I say?
Never.
Really?
Yeah, but that is why we have a good relationship. That is one thing that has made us stick together.
All right.
Because
guys
we actually have, that's one thing that we have in common. We actually both have active listening skills. And when we feel like the other one isn't listening, we actually say that. I feel like you're not listening to me.
See, that's great. But guys out there.
And girls.
And girls out there.
Women and men.
How many times has your partner said to you, you're not listening to me? Or how many times have you said to them, why don't you listen to what I'm telling you?
You know, that's an interesting question because I will tell you, if you've ever read the book, I believe it's called Women Are from Venus, Men Are from Mars.
I know the book.
Yes. So I have to agree with some of what they say in that book.
Some, yes.
Yes, some, not all of it, but yes, some. And the biggest thing that I find, and I will say again, this doesn't mean 100% for every single person, what I'm about to say, but I think it's a majority, is one of the biggest miscommunications among a straight couple, and I'm purposely saying this, because that's what the book pretty much references, mm-hmm. are heterosexual couples, is that a male will respond to something as a way to fix it, where a female will respond with their emotions. And that there is the biggest miscommunication, because if there's a problem, the guy wants to solve it and the female wants to talk about it.
Talking?
Yes.
Is that why I'm divorced?
It could be.
No. But anyway, seriously, it is. It is all about the listening. It is all about the banter back and forth to come to that common ground on a lot of different topics.
Well, right. And to go back to what I was saying, I mean, a good example will be, you know, I've asked you to mow the lawn 20 times. Why haven't you mowed the lawn? And you're sitting there watching your football. Well.
And you'll hear every excuse in the book.
What do you mean?
The grass was too wet. The lawnmower wouldn't start. I'll do it when the game's over. You're going to get all those.
Right.
And then some.
Right. And why do you think that is, though? Why do you think the woman wants lawn mowed? Me personally, I just go mow it myself. Actually, because, like mowing the lawn.
Because she wants everything to look perfect.
Right. And perception.
Perception is 9/10. Just like possession.
Right, exactly. But that goes into communicating with ourselves and how we are responsible for our own feelings.
I think a lot of the time, though, I think a lot of the time things
I think
are
it has
put
to,
off. They're put off because they're things you don't want to do or you don't like to do.
I think the guy just figures it's not that big of a deal. I'll do it when I have some time. I'm just relaxing. And the female is pretty much.
Well, I know.
I have a checklist and I'm almost done with it. I want to build that accomplishment.
I know when I used to mow the lawn, I could not stand it. It was one of the things I did not like to do.
Yeah, see, I love to mow the lawn. I wish I had a lawn again.
I didn't get enjoyment out of it. Not that you need to enjoy everything you do. But it was one of those things, to me, that was more of a job.
But did your wife, or now your ex-wife, was she constantly mowing the lawn on the lawn?
No, it was one of those things that I knew had to get done. And again, I would put it off because it was something I disliked.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, I realized I mentioned this scenario, and it's kind of an old scenario. It's a little outdated because, I mean, today, I mean, I'm sitting here saying I love to mow the lawn. And most women listening to this, they're probably saying, look, if he don't do it, I'm going to get my own ass out the fucking door and do it myself.
Or they'll hire somebody.
Or they'll hire somebody. Yeah, exactly. I mean, so mowing the lawn probably isn't a typical argument of 2020. It was just the first thing that came up in my head. So I was just trying to make
it. But it is a form of communication. It is an argument right. that happens
right.
still to this day. Right. Not as much as probably, as you said, it did 15, 20 years ago.
But right. At least not in that topic.
Right.
So what would be a topic for today in 2020?
I got it.
What?
Communicating with your ex.
Oh, boy. That is an interesting topic.
But it's so today.
It is. What do you and don't you say?
And when it comes to...
How?
When it comes to children, how do you communicate with them on...
What's going on?
What's going on with the kids? Or the weekends, you know, that you have, you know, how do you balance who has them when? How do you figure out, well, I want to take them to the circus, but it's not my weekend. Would she or he let me have the kids for that day?
Right. The compromise, the parenting. Now, that's the 50-50 parenting, though. How about the new topic that the only way you know it is if you're going through it? And that's for those parents who have been alienated from their children. We are definitely going to be doing a whole show about that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. This whole topic is
huge.
It's huge.
It's broad.
This day and age, look at the divorce rate these days.
Right. But do you think those divorce rates would be where they are if communication was improved?
That's how we brought this whole thing full circle.
Exactly. So where are you on your communication level? Could you save your marriage, your relationship, with being an active listener and learning how to communicate effectively?
Can you make your relationship better with an ex by communicating, by listening, by talking things out?
Perhaps there's hope with society yet. Let us know what you think.
I don't know about that. Maybe.
Let us know what you think. Feel free to email us at offthebeatenpath2019@gmail.com.